used to be different. All right. So this is from a father, as in a religious father. And I'm not sure if I can mention his name, so I won't. In the morning, Adam, here's another story about training drills at schools with a little different spin. I'm the pastor of a small parochial school in a town of about 10,000 people. After Sandy Hook, because parents and staff were freaking out about school safety, we called the local police department to send a liaison to do a walkthrough of our facility. After the walkthrough, the liaison recommended that we invite the county's tactical response team, their version of SWAT, to provide training for our staff. This is great stuff, by the way. This is fantastic. During a teacher in-service day, when there were no students at the school, the TRT, the Tactical Response Team, came to train our teachers. While I was expecting a morning of being told to hide in the corner of a classroom if an armed assailant entered the school, it was a bit of a surprise when we learned that the TRT wasn't there to train the school staff. No, they were there to run drills themselves. They had 9mm Glocks and AR-15s set up to shoot paint-filled gas cartridges at each other. They were happy to have the floor plan of our school to add to their database and spent the morning shooting at each other and the walls and the hallways of the school with paintballs. The three scenarios that they set up were a random bad guy taking a class hostage, an angry parent taking a class hostage, and a Unabomber-like look-alike wearing an IED again taking a class hostage. It seems that the proper response to each threat was to scream at the assailant and then light him up with paintballs. Father, you're great. Except the IED wearing perpetrator. Once the IED was identified, which in this case was a piece of cardboard with the word bomb written on it taped to his chest, they were just supposed to shoot him until he dropped. The best part was when they asked if I wanted to run through the scenarios. Not wanting to miss the opportunity to shoot off-duty police officers with paintballs, I gladly accepted. Yes, a man of the cloth. When the training was over, the officers swept up the empty gas cartridges and did their best to wash up the paint-filled walls. The next day, when the students were back in class, they discovered a few random paint splatters that were missed in the cleanup. When one of the students asked the teacher about the splatter, what else could she say other than, "The paint is there to keep you safe." I will say, because this is a small town, I know a few of the officers and they're good guys. It's just unfortunate law enforcement training has turned into combat training, a fact you and John talk about regularly and hopefully is appreciated by your listeners.
Yeah, the militarization of a local police. It's a military state, so let's make the cops part of the military.
Exactly.
They dress like it. They wear the armor. They got that. They hold that gun in that funny position, you know, right? You know, that funny, crazy position.
Yep.
And they got automatic weapons and the whole thing. Yeah. Why does this little towns even need a SWAT team? It's crazy.
And then shall we do this note? It's a tactical response team. It's not quite a SWAT team. Producer Iman from the Netherlands, you said I should read this on the show. Should I read this?
Yeah, I want you to read that. I thought there was something funny in there.
There is. Yeah, it's actually a good lead-in because he's a donor for this program. Hello. First of all, it has to be a miracle that you two are still alive. The way you expose the truth or your interpretation of the truth, real surprise that you are not taken out by some secret government agency or some 18-year-old Chechens.
There are listeners.
Yeah, thank you. You guys are great. I'm a huge fan. I am somewhat of a boner, but times are hard in Gitmo Nation lowlands. Lately, your episodes are simply brilliant. So this week, it will be mac and cheese for me. See attachment. I guess he donated. Thank you. I even started watching Twit, and I tell you, watching John trying to keep his no-agenda opinion to himself is hilarious. Today, I hit my best friend in the mouth. He has long been a crackpot, and I thought the no-agenda show was right up his alley. He's from Serbia, and he lived there during the war. He was a Serb in Croatia at the time. You can imagine that was not fun. Yeah. He has seen a lot of horrible things and endured great losses. He has a piece of shrapnel in his head. Yeah, this is a hilarious note, John. He has a piece of shrapnel in his head to prove it. But of all the stories he told me, this one fits the show best. This story is true. Where he lived in Croatia, he could see the hospital of the area. He was a young boy looking out of the window, and he saw a group of people making a huge pile of car tires. So he talked to his mom about it and asked what those men were doing. She could not give him an answer, so they both watched how the men then set fire to the tires, and this in front of the hospital. Huge black smoke filled the sky. They both thought, "It is war. This is nothing special. But then when they turned on the news that night, there was a report about the hospital that apparently had been attacked by Serbs, and this was a tragedy, and many people had died. They showed the hospital and the huge black clouds. At that moment, they both looked out of the window again and looked at the hospital. Nothing was going on. Just showing you how it really works over here. Greetings from Gitmo Lowlands Imad. And he donated $72.68, his PayPal balance. Originally, he wanted to send Swazilnov, but he thought, hey, you deserve it all. It'll take a couple of days before you have it in. So there you go. Straight from the front lines. This is exactly how it works. And
yeah, we remember when we were talking about the early, when they were still working on the script for Libya, Egypt, yeah, and the rest of these Arab Spring. And we'd have, we'd get some, it was only the Russians, which I think is part of the reason we've still irked at them, that would they would pull, you know, there'd be some huge sort of a protest or something, and then they pull the camera back, and it was some staged, it was staged for CNN.
Yeah, yes. Yeah,
well, this is going on over and over again. Of course, this is a conspiracy area. Yeah. So, I'm annoyed by this.
Dude, who pissed in your cornflakes with a conspiracy theory?
Yeah,
who,
I don't know. It's just something when I was just, who this said Adolfo Tompkin thing has just got Tompkin.
Someone said something to you in the past week.
No.
Really? Have you been out of the house?
No, it just triggered. It's like that song that I kept hearing. I don't even think of what it was because I don't hear it anymore.
No.
But
really, this is interesting because
it seems to me that this is to throw this accusation out left and right, and they do it constantly, especially on these,
it's called marginalization.
Alphabet soup networks.
Yeah, it's called marginalizing someone. That's what it is.
And it's like, but again, go look it up. Crap from Gulf of Tonkin. And they lied for years.
I am happy when I wear this as a badge when someone calls me a conspiracy theorist, because the alternative of being shot in the head is not what I want. So I'd rather they call me a nut job.
Well.
And there's that, yes.
Adam's gonna read his email on the No Agenda Show.